Hi, I'm Scheherazade Quiroga from the BIPOC Critics Lab.
If you've watched Victor E. Cazares Pinching Pennies with Penny Marshall, and if you haven't, why? You were probably attacked by an overdose of fast-paced information and references as you aim to understand what is happening here. By episode 3, though, you feel a bit more in control and perhaps even daring to ride shotgun as a Victor E. Cazares speed racer continues. But you do start wondering, what is living in this person's brain like? At least I did. Usual conversation seemed insufficient to get into Victor's instigator brain. So, when the opportunity to interview him came up, I went the Latina fifth grade route and invited him to do an audio chismografo. Originally made in the shape of a book, a chismografo is a collection of questions about all topics to get to know a person better. They range from super simple questions to strange to deep. And in the midst of it, you start remembering things. And before you know it, the real you starts popping up and you are remembering and discovering as much as the reader is. Or in this case, the listener. For this unique edition of Pinching Victor's Brain, questions include basic stats, creative questions, Latino, and ones inspired by the world of pinching pennies, which can go out there. From farming to telephone exorcisms to telenovelas, get ready to get deep into the brain of an instigator. And the word again is chismografo. It's okay if you don't know it. Victor didn't either. This idea kept coming to me as I kept seeing pinching pennies, and it was the idea of a chismografo. You know what that is?
I know what chisme is, and I guess it's like a chisme writer, a writer of chismes, collector.
It's a notebook, and each page has a question, and then you pass it around, and everybody answers. In the sense of the third grade, it's always like, who do you like? Do you have your first kiss? What do you want to be when you grow up? It's this random set of questions, but with the key in the first page, then you have a lot of information. Maybe. It's not meant to use for gossip, even though that is the name.
So it's different from a burn book?
Yes, not a burn book.
It's not a burn book. Okay.
No. The closest that I could find is this slam book. Mm. And again, it's just a collection of questions. And then everybody, like your friends or hopefully the guy you like, you know, you kind of get it to them. And they answer them.
Does the teacher ever confiscate it?
It's not meant to be disruptive. It's not something that you would do in the middle of the class. It's not meant to pass notes. It's meant like, I give it to you. You have my chismografo.
Got it.
And then you answer it and then you give it back to me.
It's homework.
It's in a way. Yeah. Yes. And as a matter of fact, if I ask my mom to lift my mattress in my bed, my chismografo is going to be there.
No.
Yes.
Whoa.
So I realized after watching, I don't remember if it's episode 2 or 3 of Pinching Pennies, when you recreate that first interview between Penny and Martin, and then he's like, you can't ask that. You can't ask that. You may feel free to say you can't ask that.
I mean, I'm an open book. You just saw Penny. I think, like, you know, my appropriateness line is really non-existent.
Okay, that's lovely. And, you know, who says, like, new questions may not come up?
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Full name.
Victor Ismael Cazares Canales.
What are your pronouns?
They, them. Ella, él, ella as well. When we like go to Spanish.
The Spanish one, to me, I think the Real Academia always like comes out and like, I don't know. I get stuck.
I get stuck too. Sort of like, this doesn't sound good. So I don't.
You say you were born twice. So what are your dates of birth?
It's the same day. I was born twice, same time, different place. November 10th, 1985.
So you are a Scorpio.
Very much so.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in El Paso and Juarez. And summers we would spend in my mom's pueblo in Chihuahua.
What is a sin from your childhood that you remember fondly?
A sin?
or memory from your childhood.
A memory, okay. I was like, whoa, sin.
No, that's my accent, sorry.
No, don't apologize. I was like, I didn't know I was going to confess already.
Yes, what are your sins?
My favorite one of my favorite memories from when I was a kid. So traditionally, we used to spend Nochebuena, like Christmas, at my mom's parents with like my maternal grandparents, and we always made our tamales out of deer, and so like my grandpa and my uncles would go hunt it, and they'd come back on like the 23rd with the deer. On the 23rd of this particular year, the red chili was ready, the masa was ready, everything was ready, and it was getting really late. And my grandparents, my granddad and uncles had not arrived. And when they did, they arrived without a deer. And we had like, it was the saddest. It was so sad. We were like, we have no deer this year. And we went to bed really sad. Sorry, I'm telling the story like really wrong. With like child pronouns, really sad. And my grandma got up early the next day, like, I don't know, at 6 a.m. to just make some alternative tamales. She killed a chicken. So she was gonna make, which to us is wrong. Like that is not what you put in your tamales. Like it's very like, I don't know, it's like this interruption of a tradition, right? Because it's like, where my family's from, like the traditional foods that have been like our dear, like ancestral traditions, like indigenous traditions, are like deer and acorn, this type of acorn that grows in the Southwest and in California. So meals that we still eat, right? Like things that we still would eat. So she's making chicken. My uncle just left much earlier than her and just like out of nowhere comes back with a deer. And I just like remember that memory of him coming back with a deer as it felt especially salient this year since like Christmas, we weren't together with our families. That, I don't know, it felt like we were just waiting for deer. It's like, that's what I feel now. Like I'm waiting for deer. I don't know if any of that made sense.
It does. That is a lovely story. And maybe also how Bambi's mom died.
Maybe.
What's your favorite color?
My favorite color is, this is what I used to say when I was a kid, Neptune, which is a swirl of blue and green. Yeah.
Your favorite food?
My absolute favorite food is pizza. Just a brick oven with very crispy crust. That's my favorite.
Any specific toppings?
I love a sopressata. Like mozzarella are amazing.
I love that you slowed down when you started talking about pizza.
Yeah, I sort of started to like envision it. I haven't had it in a while.
What was your favorite subject in school?
My favorite subject in school in high school was Latin. I was a big Latin nerd, and I was even president of the Latin club.
What's your favorite movie?
It's La Grande Bellezza by Sorrentino. It won the Academy Award in 2013. Not that that's why, like, just like in terms of like its crossover into American consciousness was like then and because of that. It's just a gorgeous Italian movie. I recommend it. It's amazing.
What's your favorite song?
It changes, but one of my top songs is Penny Marshall Eyes. No, not Penny Marshall Eyes. Sorry. That's
Betty Davis
Eyes. Betty Davis Eyes. Sorry. It's just that we changed it.
I know. I was like, well, this is like someone likes their lyrics. I love that. Just self-promotion all wrapped up into one. What's your favorite book?
I love Before Night Falls and Pachinko. So Before Night Falls by Reynaldo Arenas, Pachinko by Minjin Lee.
How about your favorite smell?
It's rain in the desert. Like that is my favorite smell. In El Paso, we have like 360 days of sun. And I moved to Portland, Oregon, where it's like raining all the time. And I love it. It's like, I'm still in the desert. I still have that frame of mind of like rain scarcity.
What's an emoji you overuse?
The red, like the heart, I heart a lot, and the flamenco emoji.
The lady, woman. The dancer?
Yeah, the lady. I don't know if it's flamenco, but that's what I call her, the flamenco lady. Right? Yeah.
Do you say Vic Vaporub or Vic Vaporub?
I just say Vicks. Yeah, I didn't know that Vicks Vaporub was in this country. I thought it was just, I don't know. It was very confusing.
What's your favorite telenovela?
My favorite telenovela is Cuna de Lobos. That it's like an all-time favorite. That one and Imperio de Cristal.
What's your favorite despecho song?
It's any Juan Gabriel song. Como quisiera. And it's like, you know, after five drinks at a bar. I tell friends that like non-Mexican friends that our favorite activity really is going out, getting drunk, getting sad, and then singing sad songs.
What's your favorite fruit?
Peaches.
An accent you love?
Colombian.
What's your favorite sandwich?
It's always like between like a brie and ham and a regular caprese. These are always neck and neck.
What's your favorite seasoning?
Paprika, that's my favorite.
A mug with a meaning in your cupboard.
The one with meaning broke, sadly. It was like a gray glazed ceramic mug that was like the first purchase that I made with like my partner in mind, like when we moved in together like 9 years ago. We're down to, I think, just the plates from that set. We had like four mugs and four plates, and two of the plates broke when I tried to like microwave clams.
A pet peeve.
What is that like on social media when people say I did a thing? I hate that.
What is a part of the body that fascinates you?
Nipples? Like the, yeah.
What's an online course you've taken?
This is not a course, but so I garden, and Monty Don's, what is it, like gardening, and like the BBC gardening show.
Okay. I haven't seen it.
I don't even know the title, but it's just like Monty Don is like the host, and he's like the dreamy gardener of so many people.
What was the name of your first grade teacher?
Mrs. Pineda, Yvette Pineda. And her son's name was Rudy, and he was also in my class.
What is the first play that you saw?
The first play I saw was in the first grade too. It's weird. It was a stage adaptation of Curious George.
What is the first play that you took part in?
I played a plate in like Beauty and the Beast. Like we did a lip sync to Beauty and the Beast to be our guest, and I was a plate.
What is the first play that you wrote?
Okay, so I grew up really religious, a Seventh-day Adventist, and my first play, it's like a religious tract, really. And so I think it's called La Llamada, which is really strange.
What was your first Hotmail handle?
Hotmail was never my first choice. So it was the same, so it was Claveles Malos, Evil Carnations.
The first CD you purchased?
The first CD I purchased was the soundtrack to A Beautiful Thing.
Did you believe in love at first sight?
Yes.
What is the first time you saw or you read a story in which you felt seen?
It's called The Rain God by Arturo Islas. And he was also a writer from El Paso, also like had like an indigenous background and was a professor at Stanford, died of HIV in the early 90s. But like his work is like, when I was reading it, like, oh my God.
What is a story in which people think you should see yourself, but you don't?
I mean, like any of the mainstream Latinx stories. I want to answer this question, but like I want to be specific.
This is why you take the chismographo home. See?
Yeah. This is why we take it home. This is why we take it home. It's such a loaded, triggering question that I'm sort of slammed with feeling, and I don't remember where it originates. Growing up in the border, but also like being from like an indigenous background, like you don't really see yourself neither in the US media or Mexico. Like Mexican media is all very white, and like those are, and if they do allow people with brown skin in a telenovela or in their movies, it's usually as servants or malientes. It's just it's hard because it's like all of those things, and then also like being queer for queer media as well. I don't really see myself in gay media. I see myself more like in queer media. I don't know if that makes sense, if that distinction makes sense.
Which of the characters in Pinch and Pennies is the most Victor?
I don't want to make it seem like a cop out, but all of them, it's frightening and terrifying to say that. The least is Ellen, obviously. Ellen is like the one that I'm not like, and I'm also not like, oh, that's not true. I was going to say I'm not like Leo Scorpio, but I'm totally like her.
Who do you look for during the crisis?
I look for the people that look tired.
Why? They've been doing things.
They've been doing things, exactly. Like, there's like, I can see the work. They don't present this like perfectly kempt look.
A piece of workable financial advice you can share.
Don't pay your student loans.
When you are out of pennies, what do you pinch?
When I'm out of pennies, what do I pinch? I'm going to go back to the nipple.
Where would your flashback mug take you?
It would take me back to, again, my grandpa's, like, he had like a row of sugarcane one year in the back of his house. And like, I just remember that as a thing that only happened one year. And as a crop, like he only planted that crop that one year. And I just remember, like, I want to go back to that. I want to take notes.
What is a life lesson you've learned from Super Mario Bros. Beyond people don't want justice, they want coins, which, by the way, that was painful. That was a painful one.
I think it's that we need different outfits. We need different power-ups throughout. Like, it's not just one. And sometimes the one that gives you invincibility, the star, is the most useless one. My favorite from Super Mario 3 is the frog. I always had problems with the water levels. Like, the water levels were always hard. So it was, I don't know, it was the most different of them and also the most useless.
If we make stories for the people who want you dead, who you wrote Pinch and Pennies for?
I mean, like for my future jurors, right? Like for the future censors, I wrote it for like people that are, that have a very particular view of what theater is. Like in my writing, I've always wrote against that. So in many ways, I guess, like, I didn't realize until now, I'm writing for these people that don't want me to write this way.
An instigator in the best sense of the word. What did Penny's In Case Hamilton Wins the Pulitzer folder contain? I spot that. That's not on the script, but that was on the screen. And I'm like, oh my God. What is in that folder?
What is it in that folder? I love the Rolling Stone article that, actually, maybe because Penny can see the future sometimes. In that folder is the Rolling Stones article that Rolling Stone article that gets published earlier this year about how TikTok Gen Z hates him.
Have you ever ignored a subpoena?
No, but I did ignore an email that came from Police Precinct 125 at hotmail.com. And I'm not making that up. Like,
was it real?
It was real. They didn't have Hotmail. This was like 2007. When I was an undergrad, my first love turned out to be a scammer. he had faked his way into Yale, faked letter of recommendation, fake everything. And it turned out, yeah, and he threatened to kill me. And it was a bad, bad summer. It took me a long time to recover from it, especially because Gawker covered it as a Latin lover, queer revenge story. When I was like the victim of like, I was the victim of abuse. But it was, yeah, you can also read that online. why did I get out? Oh, right. So he gets kicked out and I get a restraining order against him. You know, it was a very abusive relationship. And he filed a counter, like a police report or whatever, like alleging that I abused him. And did it at the 125th street, like the precinct on 125th street, which was just, yeah. And it came from a Hotmail account. And I had to go, I was living in New Haven. I had to go into the city to sit in this like room with like green tile and just like listen to the lies that he, like the most bogus of claims. Like nothing happened. It was dismissed in the room. I was like, listen, the person that filed this report is an imposter. And yeah, it was, sorry. That got really dark.
Well, I'm sorry you went through that.
Yeah, I hope he's okay now. I don't know what happened to him.
So, Victor, when did a Scorpio hurt you last?
It would be when I hurt myself last. I just torture myself before writing. Like I spend the whole day just doing like just stewing and staying up really late, not sleeping, not eating. And that's me hurting myself. And only then do I write.
Have you tried a different approach?
My previous approach was putting myself in mortal danger. So this is a step up.
Did you ever call the Nintendo Power helpline?
I never had, like my parents would have killed me. We did not have that kind of money.
Did you ever call the Walter Mercado helpline?
No, because we were Seventh-day Adventists, we thought those things were evil.
Did you ever call any helpline?
I was on the receiving end of a hotline. I end up being 16 at a call center for Three Angels Broadcasting Network. I'm like just filling orders that like people would call and like they're like asking like a religious book or something and like I would like write it down. But I was also like one of the only Spanish speakers in the building. And one time they got a call from someone that needed an exorcism. The call got routed to me because I was like very, very devout. And I prayed with this man about the devil inside him. So I performed an exorcism over the phone.
Was it successful? was he happier at the end?
I don't know what happened. I think what it was is I didn't believe it. Like, I don't think I think maybe like some of the things, like, again, I'm just like, I don't remember it as well. But like, I think like there's a part of me, like, I don't think I believed in possession. So like I was sort of it was more of like I understood it as more metaphorical. Does that make sense? But yeah, so I guess so. I guess I helped him.
Were you scared of El Coco?
No, I wasn't scared of El Coco. I was scared of El Chupacabra. We don't have El Coco, so we have El Cucuy.
What is it?
I grew up with El Cucuy. It's just El Coco. But El Cucuy is like, I don't know if it's a monster or a man.
That's the thing. I think none of us do.
And he comes and he takes you.
How do you invest your time off?
I read a lot. I play. There are two video games that I'm obsessed with. One is a Civilization, Civilization 6. The other one is Super Smash Brothers. And then I garden.
Mariela del Barrio, Maria Mercedes, or Marimar?
Maria Mercedes. Because, specifically because Fernando Colunga looks rougher.
Siri, Alexa, or Google?
Neither, none. Siri's turned off on my phone.
Lupita Ontiveros or Lupita Ferrer?
I'm going to piss somebody off either way. Lupita Ontiveros.
Tall, grande, or venti?
Grande.
Café Tacuba, Molotov, or Control Machete?
Oh my God. Café Tacuba. It's a difficult choice.
Juan del Diablo, original or remake?
Oh my God, original. Duh. Like, no. Death to the remake. Well, actually, let's be specific. The one from the 90s is already a remake. Just in case we get mail about this.
Super Mario 1, 2, or 3?
Super Mario 2.
Also, thank you for the explanation on Super Mario 2. That made my day. I was like, oh, that made sense because those onions, like, they came from nowhere, literally.
Those onions.
Mario or Luigi?
Princess Peach.
What is the first thing that comes to mind when I say instigator?
Just like a cauldron of things that are boiling.
What is the first thing that comes to mind when I say Frances McDormand?
Olive Kitteridge.
Mother Courage.
The cart.
Vanessa Guillen.
Texas Army bases and like the toxic culture of these bases.
Juan del Diablo.
A retro sail ship in Veracruz.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Her Be Kind subscription box that people are complaining about for being too cheap.
Hamilton.
Whitewashing slavery.
Britney Spears.
Toxic, the good kind.
Please complete after me. Marimar, ow!
Costeñita soy.
Eres azúcar amargo.
That's Faye, right? Yeah, and that's not Mi Media Naranja. That's her other song, yeah. I don't know when else I'm going to get a chance to tell this story organically, but in El Paso, I once fucked a backup dancer for Faye. Like, I didn't know he was a backup dancer for Faye. Like, but it was just like, again, it's like I don't know if it's like a byproduct of coke as we're like fucking, he like just starts telling me about the time that he was a backup dancer for Faye and then starts doing the choreography for Media Naranja, like it starts doing it. Mind you, we are in his car and he's full on dancing while we're fucked. Like it was, oh youth.
Close your eyes, take a deep breath in. What place comes to mind, Victor?
I wasn't in this room, but like people were getting TVs, like people being given TVs to vote in my mom's pueblo.
Wait, what were the color TVs? Were they good TVs?
They were cheap TVs, but they were color TVs. Yeah, this is like in like the mid, like I think like 2012 maybe.
What is something that people don't know about your hometown that you wish they knew?
Well, my favorite place in El Paso is like is a bar called Chiquitas, and it's a gay dive bar that is just a rite of passage that everyone should go to.
What is something that you discovered in 2020?
I found out like how real it is to connect to my ancestors by growing like crops that were like native to our land. So like that, like just I feeling like talking to plant, like I was talking to my squash plants, like in my zucchini, like it sounds, but like knowing that like I'm joining like the generations of like of people of my family that have like grown these things, mm-hmm. Felt very meaningful.
So zucchini, squashes, what else are you growing?
Zucchini, corn, tomato, jalapenos. I had so many tomatoes that we had gazpacho every day. So tomatoes and cucumbers, and I was growing my cucumbers too, which not native, but but they were still in the garden, and lots of salsas and lots of fresh salsas. Oh my God,
that sounds delicious.
So the year sucked, but the garden was amazing.
What is something inaccurate Latinos believe about Americans?
But you mean like Latin Americans?
Yes.
You mean Latin Americans? Okay, great. I think like it's like, I don't know, maybe like provincial or like just how like many regions there are in the US and like how different. things are. I don't know if that makes.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
You mean that not everything in the U.S. is New York?
Not everything is New York. Not everything is friends.
What is something inaccurate Americans think or you feel they believe about Latin Americans?
Literally everything. Literally everything. The sameness, the idea that like Latin America, like that like there are like, which is like, it's just Latin America. Or like that there are only one type of empanadas, right? Like that empanadas are not like different, like depending on which country you are.
What is something they got right though? What is something Americans know about Latinos that is accurate?
I don't see it. I don't see it.
What is something you do when you see someone without a mask?
I cross the street. I cross the street.
What is something you're scared of?
I'm scared that it's going to be July and I'm still not going to have the vaccine.
What is something you would ask the real Penny Marshall if she was alive?
I would ask her if she, what she thought of having this like tribute to her, because it's a tribute. I love Penny Marshall so much. And so I just like, this is done with love. And love for her particular later self. Like that like after she survives cancer, she just like emerges with this aura of like, I don't care. I don't know if that like, it's just like, I'm gonna be me throughout this entire interview, even if it's inconvenient. No, I'm not gonna take off my glasses.
We have Penny Marshall's eyes. What pop hit would you want to be made about you?
God, what a choice. Really anything, any song by Sufjan Stevens.
What is the title of the future documentary on your life?
Oh my God, this is really hard. Maybe like Venganza India, the Victor I Cares story.
What comes to your mind when you look at the stars?
I didn't realize like how much, like it's because I didn't see my grandparents this year and just like how much I've been placing myself. I'm also writing about our family history like right now. So it's like just looking up at the stars, like I think of like being in San Lorenzo before light pollution, and you could really just like be in darkness, looking up at the stars and just like feeling a sort of sense of permanence, and being together with that permanence. Because there's something about being, again, like there's nothing. There's like, there are no lights, especially there are things there now, like light pollution has come to our town. But like when I was a kid, you could really not see like, at night, you couldn't see like more than like your hand in front of you.
Wow.
And you really just felt enveloped in darkness. And that like that holds like a very primal feeling for me.
What is a goal to be yet achieved? And that's the last one in this chismografo.
I want to make flan, and I haven't made flan. I'm scared of it.
It was a pleasure meeting you. It was a pleasure already knowing part of your brain from Penny Marshall. I hope to see more things from you.
I hope so too.
And with that hope, we finish this half-hour Pinch in the Brain of theater instigator Victor E. Casares. Enjoy Pinching Pennies with Penny Marshall online as part of the current season of the New York Theater Workshop at nytw.org. This was Scheherazade Quiroga from the BIPOC Critics Lab. See you soon!